This is the Half Smart Podcast.
This call is now being recorded.
What is up, man? How's it going?
Oh, not much, man. It's looking Halloween. Halloween.
Yeah, man. Yeah, welcome to episode 12, dude.
Yeah, of course, man. Thanks for having me. Out here wearing the Nats jersey, you know, they got the World Series last night, so. First in franchise history, man.
I can't believe they pulled that off, man. They came out of nowhere. They just got hot.
Yeah, and you know, Christian made a great point last night in our podcast that, and you know, I don't follow it too closely, but he said that there wasn't one home game won. He said that the Nats took every game in Houston and then vice versa for the entire series.
That's crazy. Dude, that's nuts. Yeah, I'm not a huge baseball guy either, man. But, like, watching the World Series is always pretty intense. But I try to tune in during that time, but...
It's almost like the Final Four, right?
Yeah, for sure.
College basketball, you kind of just have to. March Madness, man.
Yeah. Hell yeah, dude. Well, let's jump right into things, man. You guys have an awesome podcast from Peeps and Plaid. You're just half of the podcast, right? You got Christian with you guys?
Yes, sir.
Can you just introduce your podcast? Like, how would you describe it to someone who's never listened to it before? What are you guys doing? What separates you guys from other podcasts that are like yours?
Yeah. Well, so, like, most of the podcasts in the NBA, you know, I want to say Twitter sphere, but podcast sphere, are pretty data and analytics centric, and we absolutely try to incorporate some of that into our show. But I would say that we kind of try to position ourselves in bridging the gap between maybe some of those more I don't know what the word is for it, hardcore NBA fans versus you know, someone who is just flat out watches the game when it's on TV and they're at a bar. I think a good example of that is we are aiming to get the head chef for Levy Restaurants on our show here in the coming week or two.
Oh, hell yeah.
And, yeah, you know, so that's kind of like the fun stuff that we do. We'll talk about the games. We'll recap some of the stats. But we also want people to hear about, you know, what new beer is going to be at the Moda, you know. So I think that we try to bridge that gap.
That's awesome, man. And just to clarify, you guys are strictly Portland Trailblazer podcast, right?
Yeah, but, you know, I would say we're about 80-20 for most of our episodes, some more than others. Like, when it's the off season, we kind of have to dive into hypotheticals a little bit more and look at the rest of the NBA. But for the most part, I'd say it's about 80% Blazers, 20% NBA.
Okay, right on, man. Yeah, I really like you guys' stuff, man. It's super laid back, and at the same time, you guys really know what you're talking about. So, I mean, as a fan, like, I can really relate. It sounds like what my brother and I would be talking about if we were just sitting, like, talking about the Blazers. So it's awesome to hear you guys, like, kind of have the same conversation as us.
Yeah, and, you know, shout out Eddie Corper, Jason Stiff, and yourself, because, you know, I'd say that you guys were really some of the first guys that made me realize that the Blazers are, you know, something to dissect and something worth really following to the extent that I do now personally. So to your point, I think that it resembles some of those early conversations that we all had too.
Yeah, I mean, the Blazers are such a unique franchise too, because they're in Portland, which, I mean, Portland loves sports. If you see, like, the Timbers games and even the Thorns games, everyone just fucking comes out to those. But, I mean, really the Blazers are the only big team in that area. So I feel like there's, like, this whole following among, like, Portlanders and people among Southwest Washington. It's pretty awesome to see.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're absolutely right. And I think that if you look at the Thorns as well, along, like, with what you already said, the Timbers, I want to say, is it the semi-pro the semi-pro hockey team, Winterhawks? Am I right in saying that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, all those teams, Portland does love sports, but the Blazers were the first ones to call it home. And this last episode, not the one that we recorded last night, so this past week's episode, I talked about the impact of Paul Allen and the kind of fit that he was as an owner for the Portland Trail Blazers. If you haven't had the chance, go ahead and watch that Bill Gates docuseries that's on Netflix right now.
I watched it this week, man.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, so think about how Bill described Paul Allen, and then think about what Portland and the Trailblazers represent. How much of a better fit can you look for in a first professional sports franchise in Portland in the 70s? He ended up picking it up. He ended up picking it up later down the line when he got the funding, but it's like it couldn't have worked out any better.
Two completely different people, too, Bill Gates and Paul Allen. It's crazy how they had so much success. It speaks to what two different minds can achieve, too. But then, I'm sure they worked together pretty well, too. But
yeah. Yeah, and how crazy was it that Paul was a couple years older, too? You know, he was a couple years older, and he was kind of, for lack of a better term, the kid in the relationship.
That's pretty accurate. Yeah.
Not in a demeaning way. Like kids have so much to offer. They're more lighthearted. They approach things with a little bit more openness. And Bill was hardened by all accounts, even at a young age.
Yeah.
So
he had the Goggins in him.
Yeah. They said that story of him just being up all night in New Mexico eating the Tang, just the powdered Tang, just for sustenance.
Dude, I remember when they were talking about how Bill was like, yeah, Microsoft is a great place. You can choose your hours. You just have to work 12 hours in a day. And then he'd like go into the parking lot and see who was working or not.
Yeah. So then taking it back to the Blazers, you look at someone like Damian Lillard, who you don't have to tell to work 12 hours a day, but is a creative mind. And then you look at somebody like Paul Allen, who's worked with people who work 12 to 14 hour days his whole life, and then still is able to bring that creativity to the table. RIP Paul Allen. That's the rest I'll say on that matter.
Yeah, great dude, man. So I know we were talking earlier, but what do you think the Blazers? How do you think the Blazers will finish? Where is their spot in this Western Conference? I know it's like fucking stacked right now. Like there's like 10 teams that can make the playoffs, but at the same time, it's pretty wide open too because there's new teams forming. And
Yep. So I'll just do a quick little run through the West. The Clippers are going to be in the Western Conference Finals.
But give me your 1-8 in the West.
1-8. Okay. Oh, okay. It's gonna go Clips. I think the Lakers are probably going to get it together. So Clips, Lakers. Denver. Denver and the Lakers could both kind of really swap places for that second or third seed. And then, Kawhi, they're actually sitting Kawhi this next game already against Utah, which is like crazy that they're already sitting him and he's in his prime. I think that speaks to where they know they're going to be in the postseason. So I would say Clippers, Denver, Lakers. Portland.
Utah's pretty nice too, man.
Yeah, that was gonna be what I was gonna say, but Conley,
that's a rough matchup
and
for Portland at 4 seed.
it would be, but I think that having Hassan has completely changed who we are defensively. In recent years, like last year, it was like, okay, we're going up against a huge center and we're screwed, at least in that facet of the game. But Hassan Whiteside locked down Jokic in the first game. And I think that he's going to hold a torch. Rudy Gobert, a lot of people like to say, oh, defensive player of the year or whatever. That guy is unstoppable when he gets the ball in the restricted area on a putback. Like good luck. And Jusuf Nurkic did his best, but that just really wasn't his calling card. Hassan Whiteside transcends systems with the height and the physicality that he brings. It's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. And I hope he's healthy. I hope he remains healthy because he had the supposed hyperextended knee last night. But, yeah.
Some inside info here. I didn't even know that.
Yeah,
that's rad.
Yeah. Well, are you aware Steph Curry broke his hand? That was kind of big news.
Yeah, I saw that. They're not going to win any games.
I don't think they're even gonna, yeah, I don't think they're going to even make the playoffs. Kings won't make the playoffs.
No, they're garbage, dude.
Yeah, so Blazers at 4, Utah at 5. A lot of the Blazers' success just depends on health, trades at the deadline, and I can get a little bit more into those our current status of players and whatnot later. But six seed, I'm going to go. Oh man, six seed. I almost want to say the Suns, but that's we'll see. We'll see about that. Yeah, but no, I'm going to say Mavs. I'm going to say Mavs at the 6th seed, and then I'll say Suns at the 7th seed, that 8th seed, I don't know who I could call for that 8th seed.
Throw in San Antonio, they got to make the playoffs.
Oh, my gosh, I'm sorry. So throw in San Antonio at, like, the 6th seed, and then the Mavs at the 7, and then Suns at the 8th seed.
There you go. It's bold, but yet, based on what's been going on in the NBA so far, I think it represents what it could happen. So,
Kings could make a push and kind of get a little bit of revitalization, and the Suns could, sun it. That's where I sit. Dude, yeah. Part of the benefit of living down here in the Valley in Phoenix is it's an entirely different basketball culture. There's no central eccentric fan base. And there's definitely pockets, right? But and they're starting to get more momentum this year. But it makes you really respect what we have in Portland.
Oh yeah, for sure. Well, let's take a commercial break here, man. Have you ever tried goat milk soap?
I can't say that I have.
Well. Dude, if you ever get into it and you want to make the necessary step to improve your skin and go all natural, you should try Ben's Soap Company. I personally have tried their stuff. They sent us a bar of Mount Bachelor Pine and All Shield, and it smelled wonderful and lasted for a long time. And, yeah, try it out, man. Awesome bars, awesome soap. They have a nice little farm in Bend. And,
I gotta make my way up. I mean, I got to go through Bend. Every time I talk to people here in the Southwest, I tell them how much of a beautiful town that is. A lot of talk about Portland, Bend, Oregon has a lot to offer, beer, and now I know goat milk soap.
Hell yeah, man. So I just have a couple more questions for you. So I want to go into, the new assets that we got over the summer. I know you talked about Whiteside. What do you think about Hezonja and Simon, I know Simons has been here, but Simons is kind of popping off now, and Tolliver,
yeah.
Those guys.
Yeah. Well, I think the most important, aside from Hassan, I think the most important pickup is one that I didn't hear you mention, Mr. Kent Bazemore. He got 7 steals in the first game against Denver, and he's had, he's had 2 or 3 chase down blocks in
that's
recent
coming off
games
the bench
that I've
too.
Yeah. And he him and Tolliver both knocked down a pair last night, which we need to see more of, a pair of threes. But if Kent Bazemore can come off the bench and knock down 2 or 3 threes a night and then get 2 or 3 steals a game, then I think we've absolutely seen a good return on our investment as a franchise.
Hassan I'm White, happy to get rid of fucking Evan Turner, so anything to get that out of the way.
Oh God. Yeah, you have to tell me twice, man. But you know what's so defeating is Hezonja is pretty much ET minus the offensive that unstoppable turnaround game. Like my friends down here wanted, to kill me every time I played 2K because I'd be like, ET, get on the block and then shimmy shimmy and then it's in. Like he had that and he could distribute, but he, I completely agree with you. He was not in the plans for a championship contention, which is frustrating because Hezonja, I understand you have to take the risk, you know, top five pick in recent years, you know, much, he has a lot more, physically to offer than Evan Turner. He's like, you know, got at least 3 to 4 inches.
He's a big guy, yeah.
And he does have court vision. He does have court vision, but his shot selection looks like a rookie or a senior in
like,
college. Like
it's kind of like if Myers Leonard could dribble.
Yeah, it's terrible. It's absolutely terrible, man. And I've been so disappointed with how he's panned out thus far. But that being said, there was a lineup on the floor a couple weeks ago where it was him, Anfernee, CJ, Dame, and I can't remember who the five was, but when you spread the floor like that with a guy like that who can distribute, then that's fine. But that is such a pigeonholed role. And I'm not too happy with this production. Hassan Whiteside, fantastic mm-hmm. so far. I think that he's got to keep up the scoring a little bit. And if you watch that first game against Denver, where he held his own both on the boards and the scoring, he positioned himself just in the lane. You know, Damian Lillard loves to get to the basket and then dish it in the most acrobatic ways. It's unbelievable. So for Hassan to try to really get a lot of these low post buckets, these hook shots and whatnot, that's fine. You want a couple a game, but he's got to find himself in the right position. And I think he will. But Tolliver hasn't panned out yet. He's not finding his stroke, and that's from behind the arc, and that's really what they picked him up for. So he had, like I said, he had a couple last night. So Anthony Simons, I said on our podcast last night, can by no means be included in any trade talks ever. He is, as Neil Olshey said, and I'm starting to see every game, the most talented player Portland's drafted in, even past like Damian Lillard. Damian Lillard was a workhorse, yeah. And he was a scorer.
Isn't
he
20 years old too?
Yes. Yeah. He's out of IMG Academy. He's out of IMG Academy. Shout out James Price coaching over at IMG. Anthony Simons is, he has a full arsenal already. He's making shots that 7 or 8 year guards don't make. He's finishing through two people off the glass and one. He's taking floaters in the lane. He's pulling up at the elbow. And something that I've noticed, if you watched him last year, even in preseason and whatnot, he used his athleticism, which, by the way, he grew an inch since last season.
He's so good.
Yeah. And he's got to be at least like 6'3", 6'4". And he's got bunnies, bro. Bunnies, bounce house. And he, if you watch him last year, was just more athletic than a lot of guys in the summer league and in preseason. But this year, he looks like a Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum clone. The floater is impeccable. It looks like CJ McCollum's. You can start to see flashes of CJ McCollum's. If you look at some of the 3-point shots he's taking now, he's sidestepping behind the arc, dude. He's stepping back behind the arc. Like,
yeah,
he's doing,
he's
that
got a good
year.
Stroke, man.
Yeah, Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum have put their fingerprints on this young man's game, and the sky's the limit.
It's nice to see you, man. Well, I just want to close things out with asking you, what can people expect from you guys in the future? Like, what do you guys, how do you guys want to grow? Where do you see your podcast going?
Yeah. So we started out this year trying to get a guest on each week, and that's been proven to be a little bit difficult. And something that we've learned is, you know, quality over quantity. I run all the social media for our account, so winding down the amount of kind of senseless tweets. That was a crazy shot, blah, 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 blah. You know, we'll tweet at halftime, we'll tweet after the game. But we're looking for kind of quality takes. And I think that carries over into our guests. You know, we're looking for quality guests. Not to say that we don't want other Blazers podcasters on our show, because we did a lot of that last year. But like I said, trying to get that head chef with the Moda. I don't want to talk too much about it, but, you know, the two-star players on the Blazers have a private chef that we're trying to get on in the next year or two. And then, you know, as for the game, there's a couple of old announcers and analysts for the Blazers that are no longer currently announcing with the team that we're trying to get on. So we're really looking to focus on the quality, but Christian and I have committed ourselves to once a week, every week, Wednesday nights we record. Thursdays, it's actually put up on Blazers Uprise, which is a YouTube channel that Tori runs.
That's awesome, man.
And then Friday we released our audio. So that's kind of where we're going, and we're looking forward to it.
Right on, man. Well, I look forward to listening to you guys more, and appreciate you coming on. Tell Christian I said hi, and too bad he couldn't make it on tonight or this morning.
Yeah. We'll get him on here at the end of the season to do a recap.
Hell yeah, man. Sounds good. Take it easy.
All right.
Wish you guys the best.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yep, cheers.